You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
There will come a time in the book of Amos chapter 8. If you remember that, the prophet Amos, he talked about this time where there would be a famine in the land. And it wasn't going to be a famine of food. It wasn't going to be a famine even of water. But there would come a time where there would be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. I want to caution somebody in this room tonight. We cannot allow the word of the Lord to be numb in our services. It's one thing to be hearers of the word, but I want to be a doer of the word. And I don't want this church to be a church where there's a famine of hearing the voice of God. We need, like never before, God's voice and His Word at the very forefront of our church. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the presence of God here tonight. And we're just getting started. I want to speak to you as you're seated tonight. Thank you, music team. On enlarge our territory. Enlarge our territory. And Moses, he was a leader of instruction. We see time after time throughout the book of Deuteronomy giving order to the nation of Israel. They were given many decrees and many laws, and they had to be careful to follow the land that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, had given them to possess. And he told them, as long as you're living here in this land, you are to follow the Lord your God. There had come a time where the nation of Israel began to practice their worship elsewhere. The false gods of the Canaanites were rising up rapidly throughout the land. They explained nature by reference to their gods. And each god represented some force of nature. The moon, the sun, the stars, invisible planets were considered a god or a goddess. For example, El was known as the powerful one and was the head of the Canaanites. Baal, who was known as Lord, was the great storm god and king. And Dagon was known for the god of fish and grain. And the Canaanite people worshipped things that they felt would benefit them materially. If the gods and goddesses were pleased with their worship, the results of that would be a plentiful harvest. And Moses was commanding the people to turn away from that type of worship. He said, when you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places where they worship their gods. High on the mountains, up on the hills, and under every green tree, break down their altars and smash their sacred pillars. Burn their poles and cut down their carved idols. Completely erase the names of their gods. And Moses continues to speak in Deuteronomy chapter 12. He says, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, but you shall seek the place your Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes, the heave offerings of your land and of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice into all which you have put in your hand, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Moses was getting through to the people that there was only one way to worship God, one place that they should worship, and one place that their worship should go to, and that was the one true living God. And that name that God revealed to Moses all the way back in Exodus chapter 3 in that burning bush, it was important to Israel because through it, they would learn to approach God. Whether it's referring to God's temple, the tabernacle, or God's presence, there's no difference. It all circles back to one man who is deserving of our worship, and his name is Jesus Christ. There was a place where that name would dwell, and God without question showed the people that he was available to them. But his dwelling was not and is not limited. The presence of our God is not contained to one specific location, but he can be worshipped in all places, in all spaces, in all hours of time. It is necessary and it is biblical for us to have a worship as an ongoing part of our everyday lives. There are voices in our world that are trying to rise up, false gods that are trying to demand worship and attention of every corner of our lives. And I just want to let us know that regardless of what happens in our world with false gods rising up and false voices rising up, we have an all-powerful God who is still on the throne and will continue to stay on the throne. He is exalted above the heavens. He's exalted above the earth. And no matter what tries to corrupt or disrupt true worship and what it should look like in the 21st century, God is still above it all. I refuse to have any other gods before me. I refuse to let false idols rise up against the name of our God. We must defend and we must stand for the truth of the Word of God, that the Lord our God is still one Lord. It is an absolute and it is a command that we obey the one true God and serve him only. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Do I have anybody in this room tonight that you're thankful you know who Jesus is, the one true living God? The true God, Jehovah, was not to be worshipped like the pagan gods. God would appoint a central place of worship once the Israelites entered into the promised land. All sacrifices and offerings would be brought to God's appointed place. If we are ever going to see an enlarging of territory, we must understand these two things. Number one, who we are serving. And number two, who is going to give the increase of the territory. There is a difference between what we are serving and what is going to give the increase, because it's really not a what. It's a who. It's the God of the universe. His name is Jesus, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who made us in his image, the one who formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the one who, from the rib of Adam, created a woman named Eve, the one who healed all manner of sickness and disease, the one who turned water into wine and walked on water, the one who raised the dead, the one who died and rose again. Anyone know who I'm talking about tonight? The giver of life and death. The giver of hope through salvation. The giver of love through his sacrifice. The one, our God, is worthy to be worshipped. The God that we serve has powerful abilities to not just hear us, but I believe that he answers us when we call on to him through prayer. We must realize that it matters who we serve, and that we cannot do it on our own. Without him, we can do nothing. I believe that when we have a full understanding of the God that we serve, he will start to enlarge our territory. Things that we never began to imagine. Things that we have never even dreamed to envision. But if we recognize who the one true living God is tonight, there is no limit. There is no telling what the Lord would do among us. By definition, a territory is an area of land, sea, or space belonging or connected to a particular country, person, or animal. But enlarged by definition in the Bible means to increase, means to expand or add on to. So when God adds to your territory, it has the possibility to become something new. It can be unfamiliar land. It has the potential of being something that you have not seen before. And I am just under this powerful idea that God truly wants to increase our territory, personally and collectively, to have a greater influence in the world around us, in our city, in our communities, and in our neighborhoods. That territory can mean personal influence, or it also could mean a physical territory. I don't believe that we have fully possessed all that God has for us in this city and throughout this church. But there is no doubt that all of us in this sanctuary and those who may be watching are anticipating and praying that the kingdom of God advance and move forward in a way that it has not been moved before. I have felt so strong for this unity service to encourage the people of God in every effort in advancing the kingdom of God forward. So I'm just going to add another voice as Sister Miranda was talking to us this morning about. This may be part two. Whether you serve as an usher, a hostesses, you're in the media booth, if you're part of one of the departments in our church, adults, kids, youth, music, whether you're a satellite pastor or you're involved with one of our satellite churches around our city, maybe you're a faithful member of this church and you're a prayer warrior to the core, all are important and all are needed in this hour of laboring. I just want to encourage you and let you know that your labor and your prayers are not in vain. So as the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, can I remind you, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as that you know your labor is not in vain. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So keep being the best greeter that you can be. Ushers, direct the people of God to their seats with a smile and continuing greeting them out the back doors. Music team, anoint yourselves before the Lord and be the best singers and musicians that you can be for His name. Men's, ladies, youth departments, keep connecting and serving the people that God has blessed you the incredible ability to lead. Satellite pastors, leaders, volunteers, keep putting out the coffee and the tea and the donuts. Keep praying. Keep seeking the souls in your communities. Teach those Bible studies. Have those outreach events. Keep picking up the people for church. Because a first impression is a long-lasting impression. Can I tell you tonight that our labor is not in vain? Let's not stop doing what God has called us to do. For in due season, we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. You have no idea the territories that you are planting and that you are preparing. You have no idea the seeds that have already been planted. We must reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must lead people to salvation. We must see their soul saved from sin. We must lead them to a place of repentance. We must baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of all their sins. And we ought to pray them through to the Holy Ghost. There is an enlarging that wants to happen. But again, we must recognize the great God that we serve and continue to labor together in every capacity to see His mission unfold. I believe that there is something happening in the spiritual realm every time that we get together. I felt it tonight. To celebrate, to praise God for the things that He's done. But let's not stop there. When we come, I think it would be okay sometimes if we just give God praise for the things that He's done, but what He's going to do or what He's about to do. Because they're territories coming out of somebody's efforts from teaching those Bible studies. There's territories coming from the greeters at the doors, from praying those prayers of intercession. It's time for us to get the shovels out. It's time for us to start digging, to continue planting and watering and repeat. Dig, plant. Water, repeat, dig, plant, water, repeat. Because one of those days, and one of these days, it might just stir up a wind of revival. There is a new expansion, a fresh territory available. But we must be equipped. We must be equipped. And we must be ready to maintain it. Moses, again, he gives a list of instructions in Deuteronomy 12. Verse 20, he says, when the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as He has promised you, and you say, I will eat meat because you crave meat, you may eat meat whenever you desire, If the place that the Lord your God will choose to put his name there is too far from you, then you may kill any of your herd or your flock with the Lord, which the Lord has given you, as I commanded you, and you may eat within your towns whenever you desire. Just as a gazelle or the deer is eaten, so you may eat of it. The unclean and the clean alike may eat of it. And he continues to tell the people of a number of things that they can and can't do, and to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. In verse 28 says, be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever. When you do what is good and right in the sight of your Lord, of the Lord your God. In verse 32, again, he warns them. I think we serve a God who warns. I think we serve a God who cautions us. And he warns them against idolatry again. Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take away from it. In this day and hour that we live in, we must heed and obey the voice of the Lord in our lives. We must submit to the words of God and allow him to rule over us. If we are ever going to see souls come to him, we must submit to his authority, recognizing that he is God and that he is sovereign, and be obedient to whatever it is that he is telling you to do, even though it may not make sense to you. Can I just tell you, can I let you in on a little secret about God? He's always up to something. He really is. And guess what? You don't have to try and figure him out, because you never will. So why don't you just be obedient to him and let him be God? You do your thing, and God will do the increase. That's my prayer for this. God, I just want to hear your voice for myself. I want to be obedient to what your word is telling me to do. And I'm just going to step back and watch you be God. I don't think that's too hard for us tonight. It's very easy. Let him be God. Let him rule. And he probably will expand. He probably will enlarge territories. He probably will allow us to see the greatest revival and the harvest that the world has ever seen. I just want God to be God. He is the one who is ahead of us tonight. He is the one that is in charge of the land. But we must work together to maintain this land. You don't have to carry the load alone. We need to utilize the great body of Christ. In fact, some of you are here tired tonight. Some of you are overwhelmed. Your tank is just about empty. And some of you missed out on this morning, and you're here tonight. So again, this is part two, Sister Miranda. I believe that tonight in this unity service, that you will leave with a fresh anointing and you will be recharged, full of the Holy Ghost, to fulfill the work of God in your life. In the name of Jesus. Some of you are just about to give up. You are. Some of you are just about to give in to your emotions, the feelings that you have. Some of you that may even came here tonight, you didn't want to come because you're too tired. But I believe that the Lord, he sees that, and he's going to honor you for it. There is something greater in front of us, and if we could see it, it would draw us here every time. But I wonder if you would just forget about yourself. Forget about the emotions that you may have. Forget about your feelings and how tired and weary you may be. Because if you could only see the territory that God is trying to release to us, if you can only see and recognize what God has been trying to stir in your satellite church. Can I help somebody tonight? God wants to increase your territory at your location. But do not lose sight of the territory and the God that you serve. Because in due season, we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. A few chapters later in Deuteronomy 19, we see that walking in God's ways led to a great benefit for the people of Israel. To enjoy the blessings, the people would have to make a decision. Will I choose to obey God's ways, or will I choose to live life my own way? There had to be an agreement. They would have to choose to line up their wills to God's will. If that were the case, the Israelites would need to add three more cities for themselves besides the first three that was already present. These cities would be necessary because God enlarges their territory. This would be a direct blessing from God for a covenant obedience. Isn't this how God operates throughout the entire Bible? He gives gifts to humans, but leaves humanity a choice. It's the responsibility of the people to walk in obedience into Him in order to fully enjoy the gifts that He blesses us with. In Deuteronomy 19, verse 8 to 10 says, "Now if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as He swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which He promised to give your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in His ways, then you shall add 3 more cities for yourself besides these 3, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you." Now we see no record of these 3 extra cities of refuge actually being established, probably because the Israelites never secured the promised land to their full extent that was specified by the Lord. God had promised to expand the promised land to fill the territory all the way from the Nile River in Egypt to the Euphrates River. Israel's borders had never reached this full extent. This is a clear example where God laid out an available benefit that was not received due to the lack of disobedience. There is a simple truth, if you can get a hold of this tonight, that when God promises rewards for obedience, He awards them only when there is obedience. Because obedience unlocks and unleashes the blessings of God. I don't know all that God has in store for you personally, or even what God wants to do in this church collectively. All I know is that we've read some scriptures tonight that talks about recognizing the one true living God, realizing where our worship needs to be and who it belongs to, being obedient and faithful to His word and what He asks from us. I'm just thinking if we could get a hold of a couple of these declarations of scripture and somehow get our confidence and our faith built up in our God that we serve, that God can indeed enlarge our territory. Jabez, he called upon the God of Israel in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. "Oh, that God would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he asked. So God, can you do it again? Enlarge our territory. Enlarge our capacity individually and as a body, but not just in this local church. Not just even in our city, but around the world and beyond. All the way in Grand Bay, Westfield, at Faith Point. All the way in the North End, at Grace Point. All the way at Life Point, Nuijiwak. All the way to Lower West, at Vision Point. All the way, Brother James, to Center Point and Uptown. All the way to West Point, Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. You get where I'm getting at? All the way to Truth Point, West St. John, and all the way to Hampton, New Brunswick, at Living Water Pentecostal Church. And can I just add this? Any other location that's dug, planted, and watered around our city in Jesus' name, in our district, man, I feel the Holy Ghost, around our world, God, enlarge our territory. Enlarge our borders, God, with greater influence and greater power. I feel such a witness of the Spirit. Can you stand to your feet right now? And as the music comes, I got a few more things I want to say, if that's okay. But I wonder if you would just prepare yourself for what God wants to do in the closing moments of this service. Can you do that with me? I wonder if we could lift up our hands right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that this just wouldn't be another word. God, I pray, Lord, that there would be a confirmation of this word that was preached tonight. God, you've been dealing with us throughout the day, this morning even, God, not to be distracted by our own will, because there's a greater need in front of us. This city must be saved. This city must be reached with your gospel. People must turn away from sin and give their life to you, Lord. But I pray that we wouldn't be tired in doing so. For in due season, we shall reap the harvest if we faint not. I pray right now, God, that you would charge somebody in the Spirit. Somebody, God, that is here right now that is weary in their mind. Somebody, Lord, that's just trying to get service to service. I pray that you would put a jolt in their step. God, I pray that you would put a greater anointing on them than they've ever had before. In the name of Jesus. This isn't supposed to be a time of awkwardness. I'm sorry. I just feel like the Lord is here right now to do work. We already tapped into it a few moments ago, and I feel like the Lord's just going to allow us to leave right where we've left off. Because he's an on-time God. And so I know it may maybe be a little uncomfortable for you. Maybe you're worried about what somebody's thinking beside you. But I wonder if you'd lift up your hands. And if you want to see God enlarge your territory. Because this isn't just for the collective body. This is for individually. I believe that God wants to increase your capacity as even a follower. So that you can study more scripture. So that you can be prayed up. In the name of Jesus. God, don't just use us in this local church, but God, use us outside of this local building. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 3. Sing, O barren. You who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. And strengthen your stakes. In verse 3, I feel like there's a promise for somebody in here tonight. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Can I tell you tonight, in the closing moments of this service, that we need to prepare ourselves for this enlarging? Whatever it takes, it's all worth it in advancing the kingdom. There's no such thing as a small effort. If you think that you're doing a small thing for God, can I just rebuke you? Receive it in the name of Jesus. And here's why. Man, I might have a Pentecostal fit. Thank you, people who walk around our sanctuary and pick up little scraps of paper so that our building looks nice and clean for our guests to come in. I'm submitted to you. I'm not going to get a line. I just want to caution us tonight that we better be careful not to put categories on what ministry looks like. Because guess what? I might not do what you do, and you may not do what I do, but that does not belittle the kingdom of God. And so, can I help you with something? We're all here for such a time as this. My goodness, you're here on this earth in the 21st century to see a revival, to see an enlarging of the territory. So, can I just help you? Please, please, please. Just be a help to somebody. We're not here to build down. We want to build up. And so, every ministry, every volunteer is so important. You're so important. If Pastor was here, he would tell you this. I can't do it without you. And I think he should say this. And you shouldn't do it without him. You shouldn't. Why would you, with a beautiful group of people like this, and the church that we are so blessed to be here with, why would you want to do it on your own? Why would you want to carry those weights? Why would you utilize utilize the body of Christ, because we're all important in God's eyes. I think the Bible says that there is no favoritism when it comes to from the kingdom of God. And so can I just help you tonight? You are important to the kingdom of God. You are needed. You are important. You're not belittled. God recognizes you. All of our efforts together, someone say together, are going to move the kingdom forward. All of us need to do a little bit of laboring, because there's so much work to do. We can't do it with one shovel. I can tell you right now, if they were, well, you could have looked across the road when they were doing the parking lot. I guarantee that there was not one person with a shovel in his hand trying to dig up all the ground and him trying to lay all the pavement. Okay, there was many hands that were out there trying to get the parking lot ready for cars to be parked over by Hyundai. Okay? In the same way, as a church, we're going to need more than one shovel. We're going to need more than one person laying in the dirt and trying to dig. We're going to need more people with water jugs. We're going to need more seeds. I wonder if somebody would start to intercede right now again. I need my intercessors to start calling upon that one true God. I need somebody to envision and to speak to the wind for our borders to expand. I need somebody to call upon God on behalf of our city and our satellite churches. We need to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's something powerful about this service tonight that God wants to release to us even now. Listen, if you have not repented of your sins, and if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right now. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we can baptize you here tonight. But let faith rise for the enlarging of the territory. God, expand our borders from the east to the west, from the right to the left, from the front to the back. Not just here at Mission Point, God, but every church that's represented in our city. God, at Faith Point, at Grace Point, at Life Point, at Vision Point, at Center Point, at West Point, Truth Point, in Hampton. God, we need a revival. Because God, while this world is going down, the people of God are going up. And there's so much more you want to do with about 80,000 people, God, in this city. You've got so much more than just who's here and those who may be watching. But help us to recognize that one true living God. Help us to recognize. Help us to recognize your voice. In the name of Jesus. 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 God, let there be a fresh wind. Let there be a fresh wind. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As you're making your way to the altar tonight, I just felt that my role or my task here tonight, my assignment, if you will, I needed to encourage somebody. And you may say, well, you didn't really do a good job at that. I am so sorry. Back next week, you'll hear something better. And the only reason why I do this, and I know what time it is, I'm not worried by time. I hope you're not. The only reason why I do this is because I see the potential of every single one of you, and I see the potential that is represented here in our local church. But we would be remiss if we just left it here. We'd be really doing ourselves a disservice if we just hoarded it for ourselves. Because I want this thing not just to be here, but I want it to go out. I want it to go out. Does anybody else feel that way tonight? Oh. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. As we begin to sing, I wonder if you could just have our city in mind tonight. And as a unity service, I wonder if you would think about a satellite church tonight. Somewhere like Corner Brook, Newfoundland, who's seeking a harvest, who's seeking revival. There's so much work to do. But I believe, with the help of God and the Holy Ghost, that we will see the kingdom of God come and His will be done. In the name of Jesus, as they sing, I wonder if you would just enter in right now. Enter in right now and let the Lord touch you. It's not a collective word, but I feel it's an individual word for somebody tonight. God will increase your capacity if you allow Him to. Be sensitive to Him. Let Him direct your steps. Let Him order your steps tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.